Blog Talk Radio.
From California love songs to Texas electro funk, we are going to chill you out and power you up today. It's Music Friday Live, and today we're talking with Taylor Jane and L. Dusty, and this is going to be a great show. Don't go away. From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by World Arts, a global platform for musicians, fans, and the music industry, and by MySanFelipeVacation.com, your source for a great getaway on the Sea of Cortez. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. These bands are here to talk with you, so you can call in 347-215-7511, or you can email your questions and comments to musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And I want to welcome our listeners to the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates who will be listening to us tonight, and to those of you who are listening to us on Stitcher and iTunes, and also those of you who will hear us tonight in London on the Artist Echoes network. So we're all over. You can't get away from us, all right? If you're listening to a podcast or a rebroadcast on one of the East Coast stations or in London, obviously you can't call in, but you can email your questions to musicfridaylive@gmail.com, and we will forward those questions to our guest, and they can reply directly to you. Now, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. This is a personal note. Let me apologize in advance for my voice. I have a cold and a cough, and I've been taking cough drops constantly, but I'm still got a little bit of a frog in my throat, as we see. So one of these, every now and then, if you hear kind of a blank space, all of a sudden it doesn't sound like I'm on the air, that's because they hit the cough button. Those of us in radio have a little red button on our microphone that we can hit when we're going to cough or sneeze or something like that happens, and it cuts off the sound and mutes the microphone for a couple of seconds. So if that happens and you hear a little bit, it sounds like all of a sudden it's just gone quiet. Well, that's because it hasn't gone quiet. I'm coughing, okay? So be aware of the fact that that's happening. Also, those of you who are listening on earphones and you hear kind of a funny little gurgling sound in the back, that's not my throat. That's one of our backup computers, which is the hard disk has all of a sudden decided that maybe it's going to give up the ghost pretty soon. So we are replacing it with a solid state hard drive, but that won't happen until this weekend. So if you hear a little bit of a gurgle, that's the hard drive on one of our backup computers. We have three computers in the studio, and that's in case we need any backup, and also some other things are running at various times. Okay, so that's all the announcements for today. Our first guest is here, but you know, in just a second, I want to introduce you to our wonderful broadcast partner, World Arts.
World Arts brings the entire music world together on one global stage. We give artists the tools to sell and license their music, interact with industry pros, and play live to a whole new audience. Wherever they are on their journey, we want artists to get paid for what they create. At World Arts, fans can discover new songs, get exclusive rewards, and crowdfund projects for artists. Brands can offer opportunities for artists to create original content that fans can instantly vote on and share. World Arts is the global music platform where we can all rise above the noise. Take your career to the next level. Discover new artists. At World Arts, it's all about the music.
Yeah, we're part of World Arts. They're a broadcast partner, and they're really cool, right? If you're in L.A., they're really, really cool because they have this great venue in Culver City where they put on intimate concerts. I mean, you know, 40, 50 people, and afterwards you can hang out with the band. It's really fun. But also you can get in touch with bands all over the country. So you should be part of World Arts. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. Just sign up. Taylor Jane is a troubadour. He's a singer-songwriter. He's a lover of fine craft brews. And although he's relocated from a small Oregon town to the music capital of the world, he claims to be a lover of all things Portland. We're going to talk about that. Jane is at the beginning of his career, but he has a leg up with a glass smooth voice, a knack for radio-friendly love songs, and he's got movie star looks. Plus, he stays on top of the trends with influences like Coldplay and Lord and Mary Lambert and others. His songs span genres from pop to country to singer-songwriter to rock. His first single, Hideaway, is now out, and his debut album will be released in January. And best of all, he's here to talk to us and to give us a sneak preview of the new album. Taylor, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Hey, Patrick. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for taking the time to be with us. Well,
absolutely.
What I guess everybody wants to know is if you are a lover of all things Portland, what are you now doing in the anti-Portland city, Los Angeles?
Right. It's like the dichotomy of my personality. I love Portland. It's obviously where I grew up. It's where my heart is. It's where I hope to relocate someday. But Los Angeles just has a beauty about it, and I love the people that I've met and the kind of circle that I've created down here. And it's also nice to be in a little bit of a bigger pond and kind of spread your wings a little bit, you know, and kind of get out there. And I moved down here right after college, and it was one of those things my parents were like, pursue your dreams, just get your foundation and make sure you have a little bit of a thing too. So I did my degree and then moved down here as soon as I could.
Did you get a degree in music?
No, actually I got a degree in finance from Santa Clara University, but I did a lot of music programs. In college.
That's an excellent degree for somebody in music to have, let me tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been good. And it's been good for me to help budget and everything too. And it's nice because every once in a while, you know, you'll meet a producer or a friend of a friend or somebody, and you have something that you can work on and get creative with. And it's nice because I've been able to budget for that. And I think the finances really helped because it's like, oh yeah, cool. I'm able to jump in and do this project with you because, you know, plan ahead and stuff. So.
Right. Yeah. Good for you. Good for you. So you've gathered a group of musicians and producers and friends around you here in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I've got a really solid group. I have people that I go to production wise, pretty regularly. I have friends that I co-write with pretty regularly. I'm always open for new collaborative, obviously opportunities with people as well, but I do have a little circle that I've created and a really nice like group that I trust, which is, I think, really important to stay grounded in a city that it's really easy to get lost in and kind of swept away in. But yeah.
Okay. Well, tell you what, I would like to give our audience a little sample of the music that you're creating here in Los Angeles. So here is your single. This is Hideaway.
Fantastic.
When
Thanks.
You want to hide away in my arms, when the fear has crippled you in the dark, just rest assured that I'll be here. When life's hard, I promise that I'll shelter you and stand guard. When the rain it pours, I'll haven you through the darkest storms. I'll keep you safe and warm.
And that's Hideaway, and you can tell why I'm enthusiastic about our guest, because it's such a beautiful voice. I do have to correct myself, however. His last name is pronounced Jan, not Jane, so just when you look for him, it's Jan. Well, Jan, there's some lines in there. When the waves are crashing, the thunder cracking, the wind is thrashing. It sounds like you're just about ready for anything. What's inspired that song?
You gotta be, yeah. I actually wrote that song shortly after moving to LA. And you know, I was talking earlier about finding yourself and being grounded and everything and kind of a crazy big city. But it was a song that kind of came to be. I was writing it for myself really as a way of like feeling grounded. And I feel like when life gets crazy and you're kind of in the middle of the storm and everything's just kind of out of your control, I think it's really important to kind of look within and find yourself and center kind of as much as possible. And so those lines there were kind of representative of the time when I was here and I was like, oh, I got to find a job. I got to find a place to live. I got to get a car, but I want to write music, but I need to get a keyboard. You know, it's all these things when it's like, you feel like life is so big and crazy. It's representative of those kind of times.
Well, at least you didn't bring in earthquakes, right?
Yeah. No, let's hopefully not.
Yeah, we'll leave that to Maggie Zabo. Your songs are romantic. They're about the kind of love we all dream about, the kind of love that has no bounds and no limits. Are you a romantic guy?
I'm very romantic guy, romantic at heart. Helplessly so.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say my parents were really great about raising my younger brother and I to just like appreciate everything. And I find that that's just kind of like how I'm wired, is just to like find joy and love in all things that I can. So
it would, would I be wrong if I assume that the majority of your audience is female?
Yeah, that probably would actually be a good guess.
okay.
I think there's a really good balance.
Okay.
Yeah.
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, it's a good thing.
I want to change
the tempo a little bit here, and because I don't want to give our audience the impression that you only do soft romantic love songs. So here is This Is All We Need, a little bit broader range.
But yeah, I remember.
I love the arrangements in that song. The clap beat, it kind of gives a party feel, especially when you combine it with the high piano notes and what sounds like brushes on a snare drum. And then, of course, the whistling. Were you actually doing the whistling?
The whistling I was, yeah. I whistle all the time, like unconsciously, and it drives everybody nuts. So I thought it'd be kind of funny to put it in there, because it kind of, you know, it helps when I come up with melodies or when I'm singing a song, or just, I do it all the time, like to harmonies when I hear a song on the radio or whatever. And so I thought, you know what, it's kind of a fun thing to do and it's representative of me. So we're going to put it in there. And my producer, John Coggins, who I worked with on that track, was like, yeah, we should totally put it in there. That's great. And then it turned out to be like a really cool driving force in the song.
Yeah, it really is. And did you arrange that or did your producer arrange it?
That track John did, arrangement wise, that song actually, funny enough, started off as a really slow ballad. When I write, I tend to have, I write chord progressions and kind of slow things down. I'm a big sucker for ballads. And so, I took that song to him and, he was like, you know, this is really cool, but I have an idea for it. And so he kind of swapped it around and did a really fast paced thing. And then we built in, the chorus around that theme of love. But at the same time, it's like fun and open and kind of like anthemic and party, if you will.
We are talking with Taylor Yon about his upcoming debut album and his single. It's been released, Hideaway, and you can talk with him too. You can call us 347-215-7511, or you can email us. You can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And some of you already are emailing, so why don't we turn to the emails right away.
Great.
First one, Marjorie in Los Angeles wants to know, when you sit down and write a song like that, what comes first, the lyrics, the beat, or the whistle?
With that song, I said was the chords. I usually write on the piano, come up with a progression, and then I build a lyrical melody on top of that bass line. Sometimes I'll come up with a lyric or concept for a song, and then I'll build the piano or the instrumentation around that. And then with that song specifically, with All We Need, the whistling came kind of by accident in the studio, and then we decided to really highlight it.
Okay. Deanne, also in Hollywood, says, your picture on the show page looks great. Will you be playing live in L.A. so we can see what you really look like?
Well, thank you very much. It's sweet of you. I will be playing live in L.A. We're in the process right now of putting together an album release show to accompany the release of my album in January, sometime in January, probably mid to late January. If people want to follow me on all the social media, I can definitely keep you all up to date about that. I also periodically do national anthem spots for some of the teams down here. I've done the Dodgers and the Clippers and some of my teams back home. So, you know, you might catch me at one of those too.
Okay. Sean in New York City asks, if you have a degree in finance, why in the world would you want to go into music?
Yeah, well, music,
didn't they teach you better in school?
Well, music's always been part of good question. Music's always been part of my fiber and my being. And I mean, like I said, my brother and I grew up with an appreciation for arts and stuff like that. And I have been heavily influenced by music my entire life. We got a piano when I turned 6 for Christmas that year, and it just, like, I never looked back. But I also have, I'm kind of like pretty balanced with right brain, left brain. So the practical side of me was like, well, I want to also, you know, be an educated person. And I figured that having finance as a foundation would be really good for my music and my career overall, because I can, you know, make better choices and smarter choices and be more assured of paths and opportunities that I want to take or pursue, while at the same time letting the creativity just kind of run wild.
Okay. All right. You know, I was thinking your facility with the piano, you just mentioned you got a piano when you were 6 years old, and your feel for how to use it to conjure emotions up in pop formats, it sounds really, really well tuned. The piano, did you take to it immediately? Was it something you just sat down and said, wow, this is really cool?
You know, I did. And my parents signed us up for lessons pretty soon after we got the piano. And then I continued to take lessons all the way through, I think, through like my sophomore year of high school, which is kind of like was my, I guess, foundation in music education and learning progressions and chords and everything. But I do remember in those early days, sitting there and just kind of like pounding the keys or tinkering and coming up with like different, just like the sound of it. I, for some reason, it's just like the one instrument that I've always gravitated towards. And anytime I hear a song or I'm inspired by other artists, like Sarah Bareilles is a huge inspiration for me. When she's on the keys, you know, it's just, there's something beautiful about the way that, that pianos and the notes and everything that they speak to me. It's since day one, I was just really into it.
Well, I want to play one of your songs that really shows that this is light inside.
I was losing ground, spinning through the haze, drowning in a current too strong, tangled in the fray. As all
the light inside. That's the song. Really, you really hit those intro notes just right, and then you extend the feel of the intro through the whole song. in what's essentially a piano riff. Nicely done. Did that take a while for you to get right?
Not that song. That song actually took me longer to write lyrically. That song took me the longest on the album. But the piano actually came pretty quickly. And I really felt that kind of driving vibe with that, that progression, those chords, and just try to really ride that through and really hit that hard. And then John and I built a production around that, that really supported the driving force of that piano. It's almost like a march, almost kind of like a forceful sound.
Okay. Apparently you're mentioning, the national anthem, singing at ball games has piqued a lot of interest. We have a bunch of emails on that. So what I'm going to do is, rather than read each individual one from Shia and Toby and Leonard and West, just going to ask you. I'm going to sort of combine all their questions. You sing the national anthem at baseball stadiums and football stadiums. How did that happen? Did you apply for that job, or do they find you, or do you know somebody? I mean, everybody here wants to know how you do that.
You know, it's funny. I when I was at Santa Clara, I took a vocal performance class and as an elective to kind of balance out the finance thing. And I told the teacher, she was talking about goals that we have in music. And I said, well, I've always wanted to do the national anthem for the Portland Trail Blazers, which is my home NBA team. And so I recorded an a cappella demo and actually sent it in when I was studying abroad. I was living in Australia at the time when they were holding auditions, and they let me submit a demo. They called me back and they booked me for like the day after I flew home, which was, they played the Orlando Magic, I remember. And it was like the week of Thanksgiving. And so they booked me off of that demo, went in. It was the first time I'd ever done it live, and it was in front of like 20,000 fans. And then when I moved to LA, I submitted to all the teams, and the Clippers got back to me because I had booked the Blazers. And then from there, the Dodgers got wind of it, and I booked the Dodgers and have done the Portland Thorns and the Timbers and stuff back home as well, which are our home soccer teams.
All right. So you do apply for it. Now, I'm sure everybody who's listening, who's a musician, is now thinking about making demo tapes, right?
And I have a lot of people. Go ahead. Yeah.
A lot of people have written in and emailed in, and well, I'll just read one here, and this is from Westy, and Westy wants to know, is it intimidating to stand out in the middle of the field and face 20,000 people, or is it scarier when you're in a small club and have to look them in the eye?
You know, I will be honest, I am more... Yeah, great question. I'm more nervous in a small environment, so... like open mic nights or whatever, that kind of thing, I get a little unnerved by. But when you're out in front of all those people, it is really nerve-wracking, like leading up to it. But once you get that first note and you know that you're on point and you're on track and you know the song so well, you ride that. And it's really cool too, because having that kind of energy around you, like, really is very motivating and driving. And just, I mean, it gives me life being out in front of all those people. It's kind of like you're all together in one. It's really cool.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, which brings up a question. Do you have any gigs planned in the smaller venues where you're really afraid?
I don't at the moment. But like I said, we're going to do an album release show that we're trying to put together right now in January. There's a lot of places in LA that I would love to play and that I plan on playing. Places like Genghis Khan or Hotel Cafe is probably my favorite venue in LA. I've done Molly Malone's. I'd love to go back there. So we're working on putting some of that stuff together.
All right. Well, I should tell my audience they should follow you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and your own website so that they know what they know where you're going to be. Okay.
That'd be great.
I'm going to
play
Keep On Moving right now.
Okay.
Turn around and see your light. You were gone, out of sight. And even though you're far away, I'm praying you can hear me say, called you home too soon. Disbelief takes to the air. As we cry, we wonder when your star will rise. Through the dark, we are the light you made. 'Cause anyone who's seen the kind of life you lived is a part of all the never-ending, everlasting love you gave.
You know, I like the lines in that, that even though it hurts, I'll sing another verse. It's sort of like you're breaking the fourth wall in theater. It's really cool.
Yeah. That Keep Moving On, that's actually the first song that I had fully produced after I moved to L.A. And it's that holds a really special place for me, that song.
Well, it holds a special place for me too. Not only the cleverness of the verses, but just the music. Well, we are about we are out of time, unfortunately. Right?
Yeah.
No. And I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Now, let me remind our audience that Taylor Jahn, his, and that's spelled J-A-H-N, his single Hideaway is now available. Hi, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, because I'm getting a funny sound in the interesting. You never know with AT&T these days. His single Hideaway is now available, and the album is coming out soon. Taylor, where can people hear your single? Is that on SoundCloud?
It's on SoundCloud right now. We are going to release a video for it in the coming weeks, at which point I'll also get it up on iTunes and Spotify and all that. But currently it's on SoundCloud, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks again for being with us today. I want to make sure everybody follows you on www.taylorjahn, that's jahn.com, and also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and send him a note on his webpage to alert you when the new album drops. Okay, it's we are trying to get hold of our next guest, El Dusty, who is in Las Vegas. He was at the Latin Grammys last night. He just called my producer. He, for some reason, he can't get through, so it may take us a minute or so to track him down. But in the meanwhile, I want to take you on a little trip to Mexico. Don't go away.
Just 2 hours south of the California border lies the enchanting seaside town of San Felipe, Baja California, where friendly people, warm waters, and a relaxing vacation awaits. And it all starts at www.mysanfelipevacation.com. Whether you choose to golf on the 18-hole championship course overlooking the Sea of Cortez with friends, enjoy a romantic weekend for two on the beach, or take the whole family for a fun-filled weekend of shopping and activities, you'll be sure to find just the right accommodations at mysanfelipevacation.com. So what are you waiting for? Isn't it time you got away? Visit www.mysanfelipevacation.com today. That's www.mysanfelipevacation.com. See you in San Felipe.
We'll see you in San Felipe myself, and I want to remind everybody that when you do call in for your great vacation in San Felipe, you have to put in the code MFLA5, and you'll get a discount. That's MFLA5. Okay, we're going to play a little bit of El Dusty's music. We're going to play La Chusa while we see if we can track him down in Las Vegas, so don't go away. Thank you.
for calling the Link Hotel and Casino. For room reservations, please press 1. For restaurant reservations, please press 2. For the box office, please press 3. For all other inquiries, please remain on the line and you will be connected to the hotel operator.
By Dusty, and you know what? He's here. So let me just introduce him for just a minute. So for those of you who hadn't heard the show before when he was on, let me give you a quick introduction. I'm delighted to talk with him again. And this time he is in Las Vegas after being at the Latin Grammys last night. Now, he was raised in Corpus Christi. He's a Texas producer. He's a DJ, a New Cumbia pioneer. He translates the South Texas border experience into barrio anthems and with a sampler and chop clips of Latin music history. He's had success with his single Que La Pasa, and he has released Trapanera EP, the first of his collaborative projects, incidentally, since signing with the Universal Records. Now, he was at the Latin Grammys last night. He was nominated for a Latin Grammy. He didn't win, unfortunately, but it's a great honor. So, El Dusty, welcome back on the show. Congrats on the nomination. Tears for not winning. But other than that, how were the Latin Grammys? Lots of parties?
It was good, man. Yeah, I actually played last night at the Universal after party, and it was fun, man. Had a lot of, you know, I've never experienced anything like this, being down there on the floor, and it's just really cool.
Isn't this your second nomination?
No, man, it's actually my first.
Ooh, okay.
So we've been here a bunch of times to play the parties and stuff like that, but I've never been nominated, so it was really a big honor.
Well, congratulations. Oh, incidentally, you didn't happen to stop by the Musica Fusion LA showcase while you were there, did you?
No, man, I didn't. I was looking for stuff, you know, like to do, but we were pretty busy this whole time, so
I'll bet.
Crazy.
Well, my other show, Musica Fusion LA, which I produced with Gypset Magazine, was also putting on showcases, but I know there were tons and tons of things going on.
There's
a lot going on with you. You've got new songs. You were nominated for it was for Cumbia Anthem, wasn't it?
Yep, Cumbia Anthem with Happy Colors. We got nominated for Best Urban Fusion.
Well, we're going to play that in a few minutes. But first, I want to play another song. And tell me if I'm pronouncing this wrong. We Out Chia? Is that correct?
Yeah, We Out Chia. Yeah, you're right. There you go.
Okay, all right. And what does that translate to?
Well, it's just like, you know, whenever you're like, when we were here in Vegas, you know, we always say, like, we're out. It's like we're out here, but we out chia. You know what I mean? We out chia.
Out chia. Okay, I got it. All right. Well, here is We Out Chia.
Only love us on. Hey, you tell them milk is here, yeah. Dusty is here, yeah. Happy is here, huh? You tell them milk is here, yeah. Dusty is here, yeah. Happy is here, huh? We finna turn up this party. Who gives a damn? You and body. We finna turn up this party. Who gives a damn? You and body. Huh? How you doing? Put that bass down, baby. Spending all my cash on boots and titties.
You know, that's just addictive, is the best I can say. Where did the idea for that come from?
Actually, Milk started the beat when he was in Miami with Happy. And he called me up and he was like, dude, I got this beat for you. And so we started, he sent it to me and, you know, I did my thing on it and I went to Miami and we filmed the video and it was pretty cool, man. I mean, we walked around Wynwood. You can check it out on my YouTube video. On my YouTube channel, but it was fun, man. I mean, that was one of the first couple of times that me and Milk and Happy have collaborated all together on a track. So it was a good one.
Well, you know, when I listen to that, that's a very layered piece of art. There's some interesting sounds in there. There's a sound that sounds like a phone ringing in the background, except it's on tempo. There's another instrument that sounds like, there's different voices. You switch voices. You do call and response. Very nicely crafted piece of work. Do you do that live?
I mean, we you know, I'm a DJ first and foremost, but yeah. I'm a producer next, and so like when I play live, I like to layer and remix and loop and chop up things and everything and get on the mic and go, you know, go crazy or whatever. But it works, man. It's fun, you know, when we play live and use a bunch of weird instruments and just, you know, make a bunch of noises, I guess you could say, on stage and just have a good time, you know. So it translates over to the music pretty well, especially on that song.
It does, it very much so. Well, you know, when I compare that to your hit song, Que La Pasa, it's almost a different genre. It's got more rap, it's got less house, it's more straightforward, and yet it's really more complex. So let me play a little bit of Que La Pasa, and so the audience knows what I'm talking about, and then we can kind of compare the two. This is Que La Pasa. That is the kind of song that I expect to hear, in fact, I do hear, in raves and dance clubs. It's for moving, it's visceral, and it's physical.
Yeah.
And now, We Out Chia is equally visceral, but it's in a different way. It's also kind of cerebral, like you're saying something there. So which El Dusty will we see from now on? Or do we get win the jackpot and get to see both of you, both kinds of music?
Well, when I play, I'm pretty open format, so I like to go from rap and trap all the way to house and all kinds of, you know, I play all kinds of stuff, even like take it back to like old school hip hop or old school house music. But I kind of like do all of that, you know what I mean? So that's why I like to put out music of different kinds and it'll fit into different genres, because that's what I play when I do it live, you know.
Well, it certainly sounds wonderful, and I'm glad that we did hit the jackpot, and we get both El Dusties. Now, you've paired up with DJ Happy Talk, who is also a top-rated basketball player. How did the two of you get together?
No, dude, that was actually a joke. Every guy that I see that has that haircut, I take a picture of it, and I put out, like, a fact about Happy Colors on my Instagram, and it's no truth whatsoever, but
okay.
It's just, like,
all
an inside
right.
joke with
I
Happy.
I fell
so
for that one.
No, he's not a basketball player at all, man. He's a little Dominican rapper kid, you know what I'm saying? So, but he probably thinks he's a basketball player sometimes, but I guarantee you he's not.
Well, you know, I clicked on the link and I got the picture of him playing.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
No.
All right,
no,
I've been
no,
Rickrolled
no.
on that one.
I'm glad it worked, man. It's official now.
It worked. All right.
My meme creation has gone to the official level of mastery.
It has. All right. Well, still, how'd the two of you get together?
We've been kind of like communicating online for a couple of years, and I don't know, man. Milk had moved to Miami, and he was staying there for a while, and I had reached out to Happy because I was going to go over there, and I was like, hey, man, I'm going to be in Miami. If maybe we can get together and just meet up or whatever. And he was like, okay, cool, hit me up when you're here. And one night, like around, like I guess like 2 in the morning, we were talking, and I was like, hey, I'm in Miami, or I had just got there to Miami, and it was pretty late, and he was like, I'm coming over. I was like, all right. So he comes over, and he brings his whole desktop PC, like the whole box, the big box with the monitor and everything. And I was like, oh, dude, what's going on? And it was like, let's work. And I was like, all right, cool. So we started, we pumped out like 5 beats that night. And I mean,
wow.
we're kind of sitting on them and waiting for the right time. But we got some other good songs, man. We got a lot of good stuff in there.
Well, you got a lot of good stuff everywhere. So
thank
I'm
you,
looking
man.
Forward
Thanks
to those.
Lot.
We're talking with El Dusty about his Latin Grammy experience, his new songs, and what's next for Tejano Soul and Corpus Christi Cumbia, which is what I like to call it. You can talk with him, too. You can call us 347-215-7511, unless you're in a hotel room. if you are, you can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. We actually have some email here for you, so why don't I go
cool.
do that? Lila in L.A. wants to know, do you ever release on vinyl?
I have like 2 songs out on vinyl, on 45 with Bastard Boots out in New York. It's really hard to find, but you can find it somewhere out there on the internet. It's a really cool EP. It's got a song called it's a remix from Brazilian Girls called Pussy Marijuana, and I kind of flipped it into a cumbia, and then there's another song on the other side. It's, I forgot the name of the song. Cuando lo negro se veo. It's a remix of a Landero song that it's on there. And it's got some, man, I mean, the vinyl quality that they use is really awesome. So it picks up the bass, like, great. You know, it's really cool to listen to your music on vinyl. And that's another goal for my album that I'm working on, is to put it out on vinyl. I mean, that's what I do. I dig for vinyl. I'm a sample DJ. I'm a sample producer. And, you know. I gotta have my stuff on vinyl, you know.
Every DJ I know, from Cut Chemist to you name it, they've got a huge vinyl collection, and they're always out in the bins and the garage sales and stuff. Toby in Tampa wants to know, what equipment do you use in a live show?
Right now, I'm using Serato and like, you know, to turntable, well, either use 1200s or CDJs, but I try to bring along a controller to trigger off like samples on Ableton or on Serato. I've maxed out my Serato capabilities, where I have all the loops that I need and air horns and all the swishes and everything like that on the sampler there. And I'll use like a MIDI controller to control it, or just the mixer that I have with me. If it has like the control buttons and stuff like that. And then I like to bring like a Roland drum pad, or we set up V drums sometimes and live congas and timbales and all kinds of stuff, man. I mean, I don't really have like a set of what I'm bringing right now, because I'm still kind of in that like transition phase of what I can afford to bring with me on the road. But when I do set up like in Corpus, I have like it's almost like a full band setup, but it's more of just without the drummer and, you know, we just kind of have MCs and dancers and everything going on stage, and drums and it's sample pads and all kinds of stuff everywhere. So it's like a big circus.
Do you have any live shows coming up?
I'm actually playing in LA tomorrow at Los Globos with Calentura. Skills is playing. Yeah, man, it's going to be a good show, man. Playing Skills, Chulita Vinyl Club's on the setup too, and the Calentura crew is going to be there, so it's going to be a good one, man.
Are you going to be in the big room?
I believe so. I mean, I'm not 100% where it's at. Every time I play at Globos, it's like in a different spot, but
yeah,
I think it's in the big room. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what time you actually go on stage?
I play at 11:30. Yeah.
Well, I might be able to catch you then. Okay.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I'd like to do that for our audience. He and I had never met.
No.
So, yeah,
we're buddies, electronic friends. Yes, yeah, definitely.
All right. Well,
but yeah, I'd like to meet you, man. So try to make it out if you can, you know.
Yeah, I think so. Now you have a new song out, Cumbia Anthem, which was nominated for a Latin Grammy this year, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a great combination of house music and electronic and cumbia and, you know, the El Dusty style, which I call Corpus Christi cumbia. So I'm going to play a long cut from it, and then you can let's talk about it a little bit. This is Cumbia Anthem. That this was an important song, in addition to being a great song, is what I see as the Columbia invasion, like the British music invasion of the 60s. I'm now seeing cumbia moving through Central America, Latin America, and in the United States and infecting or enhancing all kinds of music. In fact, in your song Cinco de Mayo, which is about a Mexican holiday, you sing about cumbia. So what do you think? You're in the business. Is cumbia having an outsized impact on music in the United States?
I think so, man. I mean, there's a lot of people kind of unknowingly using the rhythm in their songs. I mean, even on like the Mumbaton songs like Drake and all those kind of things, you feel the rhythm in there and the beat. So, you know, it's little by little kind of infecting everywhere. But you know, it's an easy rhythm to play. It's fun. It's really easy to dance to. And so I think it could crossbreed into a lot of different things.
I always think of cumbia as a 4/4 beat with a 6/8 clave over it. Am I anywhere near close? Because I'm not a musician.
Yeah, you're pretty good. You probably know more about that than I do, but it's definitely like a house kind of bass rhythm, but it has like a syncopated sort of percussion over it, and yeah, I mean, you got
okay.
it. You're good. You nailed it.
But it's really good for dancing. We had the Maku sound system here last month in a museum. They're playing in a museum.
Yeah,
and it was full of middle-aged to slightly older Caucasians like me, and everybody was up dancing. So I said, okay.
Yeah, man. It's
good.
Yeah, it's
I'm
good.
Glad to see it. All right. Well, since we mentioned it, I want to play Cinco de Mayo, your song Cinco de Mayo.
Cumbia, 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 cum
I couldn't resist that. It's just too good.
Thank you, sir. And, thank you, sir.
And the
it's a
video
collaboration
that goes,
with these guys, Love Duties.
Well, yeah. you know, you got a great video with this, and that video looks like it was a lot of fun. Did it take you like all day to shoot that video?
Yeah. Well, let me see. What did we do with that? Man, I can't even like remember right now. I'm like on Vegas, not hangover, but you know, like I'm just forgetting everything. So much oxygen in the air. but
right.
I mean, man, all the videos we do is. It's like kind of like my music, like a compilation of different things that we're doing. And my guys are videographers and graphic designers, so they're always following me around and capturing stuff. And then later on, they'll be like, hey, we made this. And I'm like, oh, cool. So shout out to the produce crew for always having my back and making me look cool.
Well, they did make you look cool. And if I recall that video, you were you were walking through, it looks like Los Angeles, but or rather, maybe it was Corpus Christi. But anyway, you were having a lot of fun with it. And one thing I know, in your video, you have smoke. You use smoke bombs. You really like smoke bombs, or at least your video crew likes smoke bombs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's on Cumbia Anthem. We had a lot of smoke bombs. That one's a. I mean, dude, I love those things. You know, they create a cool effect in the photography and the videography. So it's really awesome just to have that movement and color behind you. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a junkie.
Do you have to stop and cough every now and then?
Yeah. Yeah, there was one of the guys from the crew, we used a purple smoke bomb the other day in a photo shoot, and the guy was wearing like a white jacket, and it was kind of like a denim thing or whatever, and by the time he was done, it was kind of like a purple jacket now. So we created our own thing, you know?
Yeah, dude, you just autograph it and say it's official. We got some more email. Shia in San Diego wants to know if your stop in L.A. is the beginning of a West Coast tour.
No, it's not, but I'll definitely be back and, you know, just invite me. I'll go play your birthday party or whatever.
Okay. All right, we'll probably get some email on this. We actually got a similar email from Selma in Phoenix, who wants to know if you're going to do a round of the Western states, as she calls them. Monty in Atlanta says, do you actually play live congas while you DJ?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I like to think I can play. I'm not necessarily the best player in the world, but, I mean, you know, I like to get down. I mean, dude, just feel it and kind of just go with it. And so, I'm not playing the whole time either. So it's kind of like a thing where I'm switching from turntables to percussion and then going out in the front, hyping up the crowd and things. So it's not like, you know, it's not as put together as a full band, but, you know, it's just kind of like just jamming out the whole time.
Well, we're going to play another song. I've got another song here in that Trapanera remix, and I've kind of been saving this for last because this is the one with Happy Colors. So let's listen to you and Happy Colors. Particular mix to me, sounds like you all were being a little experimental, and especially when I compare that mix to the Bangix Z, or particularly the Angela Hunt version. So how much are you involved in these remix, in the cuts on the Trepanero remix?
Well, the Angela Hunt one is like the regular song, but she's the rapper on there. She's the person who wrote Empire State by Jay-Z, and she also wrote she's all over like the Major Lazer albums and on the Snoop Lion documentary. She's the one who wrote like the most of the album on that. And she's just a great rapper, man, and she's just all over everything. And I had a chance to work with her through a friend named DJ Buddha. And it was really cool, man. That chick tears it up, and she's an awesome songwriter. She knows how to write hits, and it's just crazy. And then I try to give, you know, the remixes their own space and let them do their own thing, so that way I can get what they do out of it. I mean, they're getting my music, you know, they're getting all the stems of all the songs. So it's like I've done my part, and then let them do theirs, and hopefully it comes out something good. And I've had some pretty good luck so far with everybody that I've worked with, so I'm really happy about all the remixes.
Okay, do you have a favorite one, or is that like asking you what your favorite child is?
Yeah, kind of, man. I mean, you know, I mean, it just the cool thing is to have different versions for different settings. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. sometimes whenever it's not so crazy at night, you know, then you play this version, or if it's like really, really, really going nutty, you know, you got another version to play, and it works with the set you're playing, or if I'm doing a more hip-hop set, you know, and it's just, you know, I just try to like have a lot of versions. We did the same thing with Quilapasa. There's a whole bunch of versions of Quilapasa, and it worked really well for me, so I wanted to keep that going.
Okay, all right. Well, unfortunately, we can't keep going because the clock says we're out of time, right? So,
all right,
I'm not going to tell you what my favorite is, but I am going to again congratulate you on having the lovely and talented executive director of Chica's Rock, Cece, with you on Sunset Strip. So
oh, yeah.
Watching. Yeah, huh? That's cool.
Yeah, man, she's great. But thanks a lot, man. Thanks for having me, Patrick. It's always good to hear from you and be on your show. So anytime, you know, I'd love to talk to you again.
Well, before you leave, tell people where they should go to get your music.
You can go find it on Spotify, on iTunes, on ldusty.com. You can find me at Instagram, ldusty, Twitter at DJDUS, or on Facebook at ldusty.
Okay, and tomorrow night you're going to be at Los Globos in Los Angeles. That's up on Sunset Boulevard in Echo Park, and it's a great venue. So we will do my best to see you there. But in the meantime, congratulations on the nomination. And
thank you,
you're going to take home a statue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, that's it. You've been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan from the CyberStation USA Network, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates on the East Coast and also in London. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. Download this and other Music Friday programs at blogtalkradio.com, Music Friday. We're also on iTunes. We are off next Friday. It's Thanksgiving, and I'm going to be doing other things besides being on the radio, but you can always download a podcast at blogtalkradio.com, Music Friday, or at iTunes if you just have to have your fix. Check out our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we're going to update you on the guests for the following week. That's it for now. Have a great music weekend, and I'm going to leave you with some more of La Chusa by L. Dusty.